Thank you, Jesus. This is so cool. Gosh, this is cool. Everything about this morning, I've been drinking my tears for 2 days, but now they've been pouring out. And it's Stan and Dawn, thank you. Daniel and Emily, wherever you're sitting out here today, thank you. The two guys and two families, two couples who I'm passing the baton to. Man, dude, that was cool. That was cool. The guy who brings me my music stand today. That was not a symbolism of can't wait till he gets out of here at all. But it was backwards. It was backwards. I'm supposed to be handing the stand to you, man. I'm supposed to be handed to you and preach on. So if you're new here, my family who's here, my friends who have joined us here this morning, that guy is our lead pastor here at Venture. And he's going to be leading this church in incredible ways. I know that. I'm not saying that because, I got to say, you guys know I wouldn't do that anyway. I know that. Praise God. So, wow. I do have a timer. It's not there yet. Milford, you got to put it up there or we're going to be in trouble here today. Started at about 34 now, all righty, because it might only be 15, but it also may be. In my message here today, I typically have 7 or 8 pages of manuscripts that I bring up here, all these little secrets that nobody knows, and today I have 1.5 pages. But there are 100 dot, dot, dots. And you know what that means, right? It means you're going to ad-lib and you're going to have a blast here this morning. So I'll tell you, it is rich. I saw people sneak in that I haven't even seen yet from past, way past. It's been incredible morning here today. But most importantly, that, you know, I got a lot of thank yous. And I got a lot of thank yous that I need to do publicly. I'm not doing them this afternoon. I'm just here this afternoon. I have no clue what's going on this afternoon, but I have some thank yous to bring that I have to bring here. So if you will allow me to do that, to our guests, this will help you to know what kind of church Venture Christian Church is. That's what this time is about. To thank you. To thank my God for saving me 45 years ago. I'll tell you, thank you, God. Thank you for the hope that I have. Thank you for the experience I've led, God. Thank you for saving me 45 years ago. To my mama who has passed, I'm not into all this. She might be listening to me because I don't, eternities like that. I told her in her hospital bed, I told her before she died, I told her that I will meet you, please. I will meet you at the Eastern Gate, when I get there. And so I don't think my mom is even thinking about me right now because remember, it's instantaneous. And all she's going to do, she's going to close her eyes. She's been walking with Jesus all this time, and she's going to see me at the Eastern Gate. And I thank my mama. I thank my oldest best friend. If he hasn't snuck in this room already, he will be here in the second service today, my oldest best friend. And I want to thank my oldest best friend. His name is Tracy. I want to thank my oldest best friend for helping me to understand you need to weigh your words before you say them. For you see, to my buddy Tracy, I said some words once. I thought were well-meaning, and he knows they were well-meaning, but I said some words to my best friend, and it rocked him, it hurt him. Tracy, you're not in this room yet, are you? Okay. So I'll just tell you that there are a whole lot of things that mold the preacher in his life, and one of them was saying something that I regret years later. And he'll be here in second service for the first time ever. First time ever. First time to hear me preach. First time to be back here. And you all can be praying for Tracy. That's so cool. I got to thank my sister, Tony. Sorry. My sister Tony, she's sitting right down here. Tony, just stand for a minute. Come on. Just stand. So you got to know that when somebody asks me, when did I get the calling? Did I ever get a calling into the ministry? And so many in our church already know this. And I say, yes. I got a clear calling. I was a junior in high school, and I preached a 6-minute sermon on faith, hope, and love, and my piece was love. I got done with that sermon, a junior in high school, 6-minute, 8-minute sermon. And my sister comes moving up the long aisle quite quickly, and she grabs me, and she says, she whispers in my ear, "This sister, you forget being an astronaut. You be a preacher." Here I am. Prophetic. It was prophetic in my life. And I got to tell you, I have to thank all of my siblings who knew that I was in way over my head, but still supported me. I don't know if my brother Danny's here yet. He's going to be here in the second. Sir Danny, you're not here yet, are you? Okay, Danny's not here. My brother, who's a year older than me, knew I was in way over my head. I got to thank a buddy who could be here this afternoon. I have no clue, but a buddy who, when I first went off as a freshman to Bible college, I was, I know what God's calling me to, but it's really fun to do the fun stuff. And I was starting on the varsity baseball. That didn't mean much. I was in a tiny Bible college, but I was the starting third baseman on their baseball team as a freshman, and I was rocking, you know. There was nothing better than wearing a uniform when you're a young dude, you know. I came into the cafeteria, and I remember distinctly this buddy Dave Hastings sitting there, and my buddy says, "Hey, would you like to join a traveling ministry group for the college?" And I thought as I sat there, God called me to that, not to baseball. Baseball would have been great calling for you who are. And I changed my direction, and he's been one of my best friends in the ministry ever since. I got to thank a group of people here, okay? This is helping you know a little bit. I have to thank a church called Chambersburg Christian Church. Chambersburg Christian Church. I was 21 years old. My wife was 19 years old. We had just gotten married, and they hired me to be their senior pastor. They took a senior pastor. I graduated. Our picture is on the front of a newsletter. They see it. They call and say, "Hey, why don't you come and preach for us this Sunday?" We never left. I've been preaching ever since. And I got to tell you, there are two people here today. Well, there actually are four people, my wife and I, and two other people who heard my first sermon in the professional pastorate, and now my last, and they're Steve and Terry Smith, and they walked in this morning and shocked us. Steve and Terry, would you stand up? Come on. All the way back to Chambersburg, Illinois. Thank you. I'll tell you. You can't even find it on a map unless it's a really good map, okay? I'll tell you, just to let you know that. And then came you guys. 30 years ago, then came you. The late Dave and Carol Miller. I can't explain a Chambersburg Christian Church. I couldn't even help you to know what it looks like, where it's at. You know, you heard the country song, "Down in the Boondocks." It's kind of in the boondocks, and you literally blink, you're through it. It's an old country church with a steeple, with a bell tower. It's a really cool place, but you'd miss it just like that. And you wouldn't expect a new white Audi to pull into the parking lot. So you always knew when there was a search committee. And the late Dave and Carol Miller came to visit. Oh, they just came to visit. Now, my wife is sitting. She's playing the piano. She got her six-week okay from the doctor from having our third child, okay, Jordan. She's 3 weeks old. She's sitting on a donut, whatever you call those ladies after you have a baby. And she's playing. God bless you, sweetie. She's playing the piano because it was Mark and Sarah. And you heard Stan, it was Mark and Sarah. It's Mark and Sarah. And she was sitting on that little building. She was playing the piano, and they were sitting right behind her trying to figure out who this woman was sitting on this ring. This is Dave and Carol Miller. They're both past, but they were the first ones to come into town. And then Keith and Debbie Stockberger showed up, who are still some of our best friends for 30 years. They visited with their two daughters, I think, and came to see us just because something was happening that God was up to, that maybe this young guy and his wife could be the preacher at Woodland Springs Christian Church, which we were. And Keith and Debbie came in there, and it was a great day. And now Steve and Terry Smith don't like Keith and Debbie Stockburger. That's why they're sitting in opposite sides of the room. All of you elders and wives and families who drove over there 30 years on Mother's Day. On Mother's Day, if you were one of those elders or kids in this service, I know they'll be in the section, will you stand for just a second? 30 years ago, on Mother's Day, there was a group of men and their families, their dads who were elders, and their sons who are now elders in our church, and people who came over to our church on Mother's Day. Thank them, because that's stupid. See, I knew they didn't have a preacher, because their preacher would never have let them leave on Mother's Day, okay? So see, the crazy thing about it, you got to know this story. I've only told it maybe one time. You got to know this story. When Stockburger's talking to me on the phone, he's telling me, well, we got a group of people who want to come over and hear you preach. Cool. When are you going to be available? We're going to be coming over Mother's Day. Mother's Day. Okay, that's cool. Now, how many people do you have coming over? And I don't know, but it was at least in the 20s. It may have been more than that, with children and all, okay? And I'll tell you, at least in the 20s. And I told him on the phone, I mean, I'm over there in Western Illinois, and I tell him, you can't do that. I can't let you do that. I can't. It's Mother's Day. At that church, everybody came home. Everybody. The place was going to be standing room only, okay? There's going to be 500 people in this 240-seat worship area, okay? Everybody's coming home. You can't come in. Okay, he talked me into it. We have to. It's the only time we come over. Okay, but if you do, you have to come in separate doors. You have to come in. Steve and Terry Smith may not even know this strategery that we had, okay? You got to come in separate doors. See, there were four different entrances into this old country church. Four different entrances. And it was a semicircle. It was a semicircle. I preached like this all the time. I was preaching this way. Is the cameraman following me? Is he able to follow? I'm not sure. And it was so awesome, okay? And it's Mother's Day. The place is packed. You have to come in separate doors. And they did. They respected me with that. They all came in the four different doors. The strategy was awesome. They all came in. Guess what? The church was packed, standing room only on Mother's Day, and the only rows that were available were the rows that are always available, except for today, right up front. And here they come in the different doors, and our ushers are friendly. Our ushers know, hey, we have guests here today. We have family members coming, and they bring them all into the front rows right there. I about choked on that day. That is a true story, not sensationalized, and it was awesome. And I came here, you know, that happened. Those of you who have been with us the entire 30 years, would you stand, please? Those of you who have been with me for our entire 30 years, would you please stand for me here today? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Okay, now we won't stand anymore, okay? I don't need any more stand. You all want me to get to it. I know. I know that. But there's still some more people I got to thank, all righty? Those of you who came into our church, who were part of us back in the 90s, when we were catching the wave of what God was up to, thank you. Thank you for catching that wave and going through that wave, going through the transition, the worship wars, the passion for that little facility, moving away from that and being willing to do what God was up to in kingdom. Come, as we're going to be studying, reminded of again. Those were such great days. And those of you who went to the school, with us, you see, we were a church in a trailer. We, just like a lot of churches do, we sold our building. This one was being built almost 5 miles away, and we stopped halfway in between at Mohawk Trails Elementary School for almost a year. For those of you who came to the church then, for those of you who lived through that, oh my goodness, just unpack and pack in this great, great memories that are so powerful on those of you who have joined us since 2000. Since we came here to this property, this campus, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for moving through transitions, all kinds of transitions. You lived through our name. Many of you lived through our name going from Woodland Springs to Hazel, and so many of you lived through our name change just a year ago to venture to something we're aspiring to as a church. And what a blessing that was. To those of you who I was blessed to see your lives changed. Oh my goodness. To see your lives changed. And those of you who under my ministry have been baptized into Christ, that public demonstration of I'm going to trust in Jesus and I'm going all in, man, to be able to celebrate those baptisms. I'm a clapper and I clap after those baptisms. How incredible that is. And to all of you who I had the honor of marrying, cool. Especially if you're still married, cool. Or I was reminded this week, if I've married you even a couple of times, whether to the same man or the same woman or a different man and a different woman, thank you for giving me that honor of helping to be a blessing in your life, you know. Those of you who I've cried with because of loss. All kinds of loss. Thank you for the trust you had in me to be able to do that. And how cool is that? To two dear friends here, thank you. To two dear friends who made it possible for Sarah and me to fly to India to see our kids and grandkids every year. You're here. Thank you. You know who you are. And I have to call out a group of dudes who have been my buddies for going on 18 years now called Napkin Notes. It is the most endearing group. It has been a sustained group for myself. My wife knows more than I do how important Napkin Notes was to my life and my marriage and my family. So I lied. I forgot. Because I want my Napkin Notes buddies to stand, if you will. If you've been a part of my Napkin Notes ministry in the last 18 years, would you just stand? I want to thank you guys. You've been my team. 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 You guys, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Seasons change and guys come and go, but it has been so powerful the last few days in all of that. And a special thank you to my staff. To my staff and my elders over the entire period who held up my arms and lifted up Jesus with me. Thank you, team. Thank you. So let me tell you where I'm at in this venture, okay? Because many people are wondering about that. And let me just give you just a little nutshell. We are narrowing it down, figuring out what God's up to for my next career. And it's all following under the umbrella of relational capital. It's my values, relationship, intelligence, whatever that means. It's falling under the areas such as donor, major donor relations, the sustaining and the cultivating, or a key client or customer relations, all under the relational side, sustaining that, growing that, or it's land. That's one side, and the other side that we see God pointing me to is the area within a corporation with their employees, and it would be part of the culture officer or mission integration officer. It would be the idea where I'd really be able to, I could potentially do what I've always done. Not wear a collar, not be called a clergyman, not be called a reverend, but just love people and help them become the greater person that they need to be in generosity in all kinds of ways. And I could go home at night and leave the work, and I would have weekends. If that happened, that would be a sweet, sweet deal. But either side, because relationally, I would love to be the person who, with a cause, with significance, with something that has a cause or significance, where I could help bring other people along to that cause. I've been doing it for 36 years, so why wouldn't God want to use me for something very specific? So that just gives you a little opportunity to understand where I'm going to be going there. And I'll tell you what, I'd love for you to be the one responsible for me discovering my next career, okay? So whoever you might be. But there's two other thank yous that I need to say. Really more than to anybody except to Jesus. And the first group that I want to say thank you to are my kids. I have the greatest kids in the world, okay? They're champions, every one of them. They have been the most loving. They've been the most. Man, I got three kids, three in loves, and four or five grandkids, however you count those these days. My kids have been my great joy in my life. The cool thing is my kids never embarrassed our church. My kids never, ever. And you might not know this, but one of the ladies up here on the platform was one of my kids. The gal standing over here is my oldest child, my daughter, that was standing over here, Courtney, singing today, helping lead us in worship. And we're going to have time to celebrate this afternoon and all that, but I just had to make sure that I said something about you guys, because Mama would kill me if I didn't. So, and then there's another group person that I need to thank, and that is my wife. Baby, it's been a great ride. It's been a great ride. Thank you. Man, and she's been awesome for this church. She's, oh gosh. Oh my goodness. You guys have to know that if I have a fingerprint on this church, it's a handprint that my wife or the other four fingers, okay? You have to know that. If you're newer to our church, you may not know that in context. You may not know that, but you saw something. The gal today, our leader today, who wasn't even going to take leadership because she wants to be with her girls who sing with her, you know. Honey, would you stand? And just turn around. Let people know who you are. You should be up here. Hey, baby, come here. Thank you. Receive this, baby. It's yours. Receive it. Look at this place. First service, receive it. Thank you, honey. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And I'm sorry, but she's got to do this one more time this morning, okay? It will not top this. It can't. It will not top this. So thank you. Thank you, baby. Thank you. Yeah, you can sit down. Yeah. She doesn't usually ask permission. She did that just in respect, I'll tell you. Oh, she didn't. That was not even expected to even happen here. So, okay, our time is perfect. I got this timer going. It's going, I promise you. So, there is a popular song on Christian radio currently. I heard it again yesterday, and boom, I knew I wanted to share these words because I believe them. You have known me for at least 30 years. And I believe this. The chorus goes this way in the song. The chorus goes this way. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. And that fits me well. Even Scripture supports that about me and everybody else. Mark 4:26, you see it there on the screen, it reads, get to read out of my Bible here publicly again. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he's sleeping or he's up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full corner in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he gets to it because the harvest has come. That's all about the fact that there were all a bunch of nobodies trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved our soul. That's the significance here. This is all about Jesus. Always has been. Always will be. Hallelujah. Would you give him the glory and the praise here this morning? Wow. Wow. You know, we just scatter the seed and in what we say and in what we do, okay, and what we and how we live, and God's the one who makes amazing things happen. Hallelujah. Thank you for all of this. Our picture on the front of the bulletin, babe. You're beautiful, I'll tell you. Thank you for, I'm sorry, Stan and Daniel. I'm sorry you've had to put up with this whole weekend and in the last few months from certain people who have really been rocking to love on us. And thank you guys for being a part of that and all your support. You guys know that, I'm not here to leave a legacy. I'm only here to leave you with Jesus. And man, And thank you, Lord, for not only saving me, but for allowing me to preach about your Son in such a wonderful place for such a long period of time. It's been a great run. I haven't run it perfectly, but I think we can say that we fought a pretty good fight. And we've kept the faith. Okay, for me today is about lasts. Everything about this has been about lasts. I could go on, but there are three lasts. And the first one is, I want to preach. For the last time. It didn't take long. Because I've always made sure that I either had God's word to start my message preparation, or there was some kind of topic where I needed to go back and make sure that it was confirmed in his word, and that's how I preached. So, what would be my last scripture to preach? Of so many, but what would be my last scripture to preach? And I just want us to let me read Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 7 and 9 through 10. And here's why, church. In the wealthy suburbia, I have learned something. I've learned that our ministry begins with, well, how can they help me with my marriage? How can they help me navigate my job? How can they help me as a husband? How can they help me as a dad, as a mom? That's where ministry in the affluent suburban church begins. Okay? And we have these things that we call spiritual disciplines. And we're all believers in Jesus, and we want to get closer to Jesus in our walk. And I guess today I just want to tell you that for most of the world, even around the corner, for most of the world, ministry doesn't start with those things. It starts with brokenness. How in the world can we minister to broken people? How can we minister to people who don't have food, who don't have clothes, who don't have a place to sleep? And I want to share with you what I believe is the greatest spiritual discipline. What I believe is the greatest spiritual discipline. So no matter how far you advance in your maturity with Christ, you will look more like Jesus and be walking more with Jesus when you do what he's already said to us, because he doesn't change his mind. And here's what he said. Isn't this the kind of fasting? You see, that's a spiritual discipline, and we preach on it. Hey, you ought to fast. But, oh my goodness, let's recalibrate what God's up to. Isn't this the kind of fasting that I've chosen? To tear away the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every chain. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the marginalized with shelter? When you see the naked and tattered, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the judgmental attitude and hateful talk, and if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your influence will rise in the darkened culture, and your night will become like the noonday. That's all I got to preach as I sign off here today. That's all I got to preach. And what would be my last words to you? What would be my last words to you? It wasn't going to be a sermon, because my ministry has been much more than just a sermon. I hope. That's why this hurts so much. Because my ministry wasn't just a sermon. My ministry was relationship with all of you. What were going to be my last words to you? Well, I got to thinking about that. Struggled with it for a good 3 months. A few times along this journey and trying to figure out what my last words were going to be, I knew I had it. I discovered, that's what you want me to say, God. That's what you want me to say. That's what you want me to say. Cool. And the more I read it, the more I'd look through it. No, that ain't it. That ain't it. That ain't it. So I had to try to figure out, what was I going to say to you as my last words? And I thought, you know, I ought to go back to the day that my daughter got married. And what did I say to her? What did I say when I was giving my baby away? What did I say to her? And I have struggled with remembering what I said on that day. And then I remembered. Here's what I said, and I say it to you. I love you. And one more last before I walk off this platform for the next to the last time. It's my last public prayer from this platform. It's from the book of Ephesians. And I want to ask that we pray this one together, okay? Would you read it? Would you read it with me, this last prayer? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.